All right. Well, we're audio only at the moment, I guess. YouTube is not cooperating with us at all. Whether we will be able to switch over to it at some point or something, I don't know. I do not understand these things. But hopefully someone can tweet out the audio link so that folks can switch over and follow along the old-fashioned way. Via the audio portion. I think we have to refresh the page and start all over again and put up stuff. And I don't know how it works, but it's complicated and beyond my my area of expertise. So I'm not even sure if we're going to be able to post this. We certainly need to be able to post this. So I'm not really sure what to do here, to be perfectly honest with you, because the whole idea was to make this stuff available. In a forum that people can listen to, and a lot of folks have already been switching over to the YouTube version, but if we can only do the audio, then we can only do the audio. A article was just posted, and we were made aware of it let's see here, where did it go? That's not it. And that is, a article was just posted today on Right Wing Watch by Peter Montgomery. And it is rather interesting. If it says, if you were the trustee of a troubled college fighting to keep its accreditation, would you hire as your new president someone who was forced out of a previous academic post for lying about his past? That's what the trustees of Bruton Parker College in Georgia have just done. The college announced this week that it has hired Ergun Canner to be its new president. I saw in another article, by the way, this is abpnews.com. This is very, very interesting. Where did the names go? Yeah, Bruton Parker president Mike Simoneau, elected in 2011 after serving as interim president, catch this, on loan from Truett McConnell College in Cleveland, Georgia. There's a connection, folks. I wonder what the connection was. There had to be a connection. It had to be the good old boys network thing. Truett McConnell College, sound familiar? Truett McConnell College, you know, the Word document from which the laughable excuse sheet published on Norman Geisler's website. That's where it was written, according to the properties. Truett McConnell College, where Emir Canner is the president. There is your connection. And that article was about the accreditation issue there at the school. But that was interesting to find out what the connection really was. Anyways, Canner is the former dean of the seminary at Liberty University, who was removed from that job in 2010 when the school could no longer ignore the evidence that the Jihad to Jesus life story Canner had been peddling since the 9/11 attacks turned out to be a pack of lies. Canner said, for example, he was raised in Turkey and trained as an American-hating jihadist. In reality, he was born in Sweden and moved to the U.S. as a very young child. And by the way, if you want evidence of that, I'm putting together a single clip file with Ergun Canner's own words, because Peter Lumpkins and Mr. Rogers and people like that are starting to create this mythology that, you know, Ergun Canner has, well, he apologized, but no, he didn't. And he's been vindicated, but no, he hasn't. And there's independent investigators. No, there aren't. Facts are facts. And the best way to respond to the twisting of truth and the rewriting of history is to let Ergun Canner speak for Ergun Canner. And so, in support of what was just said here, trained as an American-hating jihadist. Well, did Ergun Canner ever say that? Well, it would help if the volume was up on my computer so that people could hear that.
I hated you.
I'm trying it again so you can hear it. It's very clear.
I hated you.
I hated you. That's Ergun Canner in 2006 talking about him being trained in Beirut and stuff like that. Anyway, it's not as if Bruton Parker trustees were unaware of Canner's controversial past. A press release from the college quoted an unnamed trustee saying, "We didn't consider Dr. Canner in spite of the attacks. We elected him because of them. He has endured relentless and pagan attacks like a warrior. We need a warrior as our next president, a quotation that I read to you. Oh, just yesterday, in fact, as one of the most amazingly deceived statements I think I've ever seen someone say. The mind reels. Cantor's most relentless critics are not pagan, but born-again evangelicals who take great offense at Cantor's lying to fellow Christians from church pulpits. It's hard to see how Cantor's hiring is evidence, as outgoing president Mike Simoneau claims, of the school's decision to honor Jesus Christ in every area. Yeah, it really is hard to see that. In fact, the timing of the announcement is a bit awkward for Cantor and the college because it comes just days after filing of a detailed motion in a legal suit being brought by Cantor against some of his critics. Let's backtrack just a bit. The most devastating weapon in the arsenal of Cantor's critics has been Cantor's own demonstrably dishonest words, captured in this digital age for everyone to see. Cantor, who has taken a bullying, blustering approach to his critics, set out this summer to purge the online evidence of his lying. In May this year, he had 34 videos that critics had posted online taken down from YouTube by filing copyright claims under the Digital Millennial Copyright Act. Sound familiar? In June, he filed a lawsuit against Jonathan Autry and Jason Smathers, claiming they had willfully and purposely infringed on his copyright. By the way, that is in regards to, for Jason Smathers anyways, in regards to the Marine videos, which were obtained through FOIA. Among Cantor's claims that Smathers and Autry, operating separately, violated his copyright by posting videos of speeches Cantor gave to U.S. Marines in 2005 training sessions. They had obtained videos of the speeches by filing Freedom of Information Act requests with the Marine Corps. They posted the videos online so that others could see and hear Cantor's claims firsthand and judge whether they were taking his remarks out of context. The videos show Cantor's misrepresenting his past in order to bolster his credentials as an expert on Islamic terrorism, which is absolutely an undisputable fact. Undisputable. I mean, as we'll see, I'll play some of the sections for you, because it's, you know, really, really, really clear. Well, but for example,
I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old. The press release from Bruton Parker, whatever it is, says that he was here when he was 2 years old. So, hey, let's, you know, lie upon lie upon lie. They all get caught eventually. And everyone is anybody with a slightest desire to be honest knows what's going on here. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that don't know anything about that thing there. No.
Everything I knew about American culture, I learned through American television. Whatever they allowed into the Turkish region.
Yeah, so there you are, growing up in Ohio, watching Turkish TV in the 1970s. that's arrogant Cantor, you know. He's the one that's why he'll never debate me, obviously, because all I have to do is just play him. I wouldn't hardly even have to speak. You know, I might do some introductions, but I could just sit there and click, click, click. Let him speak for himself. You know, just straightforward, very, very easy. Anyways, I'm reading the article. The video show Cantor misrepresenting his past in order to bolster his credentials as an expert on Islamic terrorism. It's easy to understand why Cantor would like to cleanse the public record of his lying to Marines, but a description of the case on Smathers' website makes it sound like Cantor wants to go beyond silencing his critics to punishing or destroying them. Smathers writes that even though Autry took down Cantor's videos and offered to sign a non-disparagement agreement, he faced escalating demands that he could not afford to meet. Says Autry, Dr. Cantor has continued the lawsuit for apparently no reason other than to seek the attorney's fees that I cannot afford to pay. In a sworn statement, Autry says Cantor demanded Autry's wife and three young children also sign non-disparagement agreements, and that Cantor threatened to bankrupt him by following up his copyright suit with a defamation claim. Now, remember, I told you that when I was first informed about what happened in Arlington, that the police reported to us that Cantor's side, that Cantor and the college had specifically made mention of filing defamation suits against me, that was soon coming. And so this seems to be something very much a part of the bullying that Arrogant Cantor is engaging in as a Christian minister and president of now a Southern Baptist college. Just before Thanksgiving, attorneys for Smathers and Autry filed a motion to dismiss the charges. Their filing is worth reading. It provides documentation of Cantor's duplicity as well as a sense of the flimsiness of his legal claims. The attorneys conclude that Dr. Cantor's motive is simply to lock the videos away so that no one can expose his dishonesty. Among the assertions in the motion, Kanner made his speeches to the Marines as a government contractor, therefore the government and not Kanner owns the lectures. That's a given. That's just a given. I mean, honestly, you really have to wonder about the attorneys involved here. You really do. I mean, wow. It is a longstanding principle of Freedom of Information Act law that a release to one is a release to all. Since the USMC released the video of Kanner's speech, it is available to every member of the public. Kanner's copyright claims are bogus because he has not shown that he has copyright to the videos in question. The videos were posted online in 2010. He now claims that his applications are pending. By the way, the DMCA that was launched against us, one video, I know who owns a copyright. And I contacted them, and they had nothing to do with it at all. Nothing at all to do with it. And they have not, and they are certainly not going to pursue removing them. Of course, fair use anyways. But just more less than honest activity out there, shall we say. We wonder who's behind all of it. The attorneys also note it is a crime to falsely represent the truth on a copyright application. Kanner has also gone after another persistent critic, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I think that's me. When Kanner was at Arlington Baptist College, White says the school tried to get a local church to cancel a presentation White gave about Kanner's many fraudulent claims and charged White with criminal trespass when a former student distributed flyers on campus about his upcoming speech. White wasn't even in the state at the time. The charges were dropped. Well, it wasn't just me. It was also included the pastor of the church as well as the gentleman who distributed the flyers. White is now this is where I'd like to offer a correction. White is basically begging Kanner to sue him, saying he would love to depose Kanner, his colleagues, and his family about the claims he made repeatedly over the years. No, I have no interest whatsoever in wasting time on this pack of lies in this way. Time and money, because it would take forever, and it would take money that could be used to actually continue the work of ministry that Ergen Kanner has lied about doing all these years but never did. That would be the tragedy of it all. What I have said is, if he does, he better be prepared to bring everybody in. Because if he goes there, if because of the assistance of Norman Geisler and because of the assistance of Veritas Seminary and because of all the schools that have allowed him to speak and all the pastors that have closed their eyes and all the Peter Lumpkinses of the world that are aiding and abetting him in violating scripture and in promoting lies and errors and giving the Muslims just so much to laugh about. Laughter in Medina after he's elected as president of a college, because the Muslims are going, wow, look at them Christians. They're really into truth, aren't they? And they've got a real point with these folks. There's no question about it. If after all of that, he finally goes, he's been emboldened by the people who will protect him, who will allow him to lie, and he goes that far, then it's time to end it. It's time to end it. And it's time to bring everything out there, make it a part of public record, and absolutely get rid of all these excuses that Peter Lumpkins and others are throwing out there. Well, he's been independently investigated and all the rest of this stuff. It's time to get it out there and get it over with. And maybe enough people are starting to notice this, that the pressure will finally be enough to expose the man and to stop the people who have been aiding and abetting Ergen Kanner. Maybe they will finally back off and say, hey, this is too much. This isn't working. Bruton Parker's trustees are not the only people willing to overlook Kanner's dishonesty. Arlington Baptist College made Kanner provost after his demotion at Liberty. And May this year, Kanner was invited to address the Family Research Council's Watchman on the Wall conference for pastors. White seems personally offended by Kanner's behavior. Yeah, I think any Christian should be. Saying it is a sin for Kanner to sue Christian pastors to suppress the truth about his own lies. I appreciate the accuracy of that one. It is. Autry is also personally troubled by Kanner's behavior. He says he attended college and seminary at Liberty while Kanner was the seminary's dean. But the trustees at Bruton Parker College see something else in Kanner. Trustee Bucky Kennedy said in the school's press release that Kanner's character and love for God are admirable and inspirational. And he finishes the article by saying it makes one wonder what Bruton Parker teaches its students about the definition of character. Now, that's a secular writer. Once the secular world starts getting hold of this, you have to wonder if all these people who have been aiding and abetting him are going to start counting the cost. Now, Peter Lumpkins, Rogers, these guys, no, they are sold out. But there are others who could really start feeling the pressure. So we wonder. Now, what brought all of this about was, as you know, and as the article laid out very well, there have been recent filings in the lawsuit. I'm primarily familiar with the lawsuit in regards to Jason Smathers. I am not an expert on all the motions that were just filed and all the rest of that kind of stuff. I've just not had time to keep up with that. I'm supposed to be doing a debate next Thursday that I'm really feeling way behind on at the moment. But be that as it may, there was a blog article posted at jaredmoore.exaltchrist.com. And Jared Moore, as I understand it, is second vice president in the Southern Baptist Convention. And he asked Ergen Canner a few questions. They were honest questions. They were good questions. And, of course, it didn't take long for Peter Lumpkins and various and sundry Canner defenders to show up in the thread. Now, some of you know that I have sparred with the gentleman we very affectionately call Lumpy in our chat channel for quite some time. And there are a number of articles on my blog documenting some of the zaniness of Petey Lumpkins. And so I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but what is amazing to me, and by the way, that article was November 26, 2013, posted in the Truth column by Jared Moore. And pretty quickly, Mark Lamprecht posted, some other people posted, and then Peter Lumpkins showed up on November 27th at 11:59 p.m. I guess he just barely made it under the wire there. And so I went back and forth a little bit. And some of the statements that are, now you might say, well, yeah, this is Lumpkins. Who really, I mean, does the man have any credibility? And for most people, no, he does not. That's pretty obvious. But the problem is, once you see these comments in the context, what was the thinking of the trustees at this school? I mean, I can only go with two possibilities here. The really generous possibility is that Ergen Canner goes in there and he works his personal magic. And he pulls at the heartstrings and he talks about, you know, how he and his brother were expecting this, and, you know, this is how Muslims treat people, and it's just been pagans that have been attacking us, and them hyper Calvinists, and these guys just and gals just thought, and you've just been putting up with this. Oh, this is wonderful, and they just didn't do due diligence, and they were just completely deceived. The less generous is that they see this guy as maybe having the possibility of helping them to keep their accreditation and get more students, and cha-ching, and there he goes. Who cares about all the rest of it? Obviously, we should not be expecting any kind of statement from the Board of Trustees answering all of the questions that are out there and answering the documentation that demonstrates the lies of Ergen Canner. But the problem that we have is with people like Lumpkins and Rogers running around saying, oh, he's been exonerated, man. He's as pure as you people. Then you could, maybe those are the type of people they were listening to. And you see the result. You see the result. Now, I realize that Petey Lumpkins, these people, they don't care about the impact on ministry to Muslims in South Africa. They don't care. That's irrelevant. It was really bad reading Rogers. He didn't, in the comments stuff, he didn't care about, why should I care about what the Muslims think? Well, if you're trying to reach them, it might have something to do with it. But they don't care about that. They're not out there doing that kind of thing. I mean, before I ever even got to South Africa, my Christian contacts in South Africa were telling me, hey, they know about Kanter down here. That's the other side of the world, folks. And Ergun Kanter and Emir Kanter. Oh, by the way, the video of the debate from inside the masjid in Lanesia is on YouTube. Have we posted it? Did we link to it yet? YouTube's dead, huh? Oh, I don't know what you're doing in there.
Okay, so we're taking the video from the show and we're saving it to the hard drive.
Oh, okay.
So I'll post it to the YouTube later on. Everybody's moving over to the audio.
Okay.
In the meantime, I've got no YouTube stuff to manage right now, so...
Why not?
I might as well go do that.
Yeah, whatever. That sounds good. Basically, our copies haven't arrived yet, but somebody else's did, and they're already getting them on YouTube. Okay, great, fine. So we'll obviously have our versions up eventually, but the debate on sin and salvation from inside the masjid, not in a room next to it, but inside the masjid in Lanesia, South Africa, is now on YouTube. And so that's not something Emir Kanter and Ergun Kanter have ever done, even though they claim to have done so. And in fact, some people even claim they did it in Arabic, which really wouldn't work very well since they don't speak it. These folks aren't taking the message out to that level. So I can see why they're just like, oh, this is just, this doesn't matter. Do you see why this is was important? Do you see why those who've just closed their eyes and closed their ears and is like, well, you know, he's got some pretty powerful friends. And it's really interesting to look at some of the, let's look at some of the things that, Petey Lumpkin says here, because he brings in names, and I'm not sure some of these folks would like to have their names brought in. Let me see. There is a whole list of people that allegedly have, support. Well, and you know, in some sense have supported because they haven't come out and said anything about it. But I think there's some people. Okay. Moreover, others, have also concluded similarly. Not only did Norm Geisler, but also Ron Rhodes, John Ankerberg, Paige Patterson, and Joseph Holden, not to mention Craigo Publications' Vindication of Ergun Kanter. Yet here we see character assassination with no conscience on full display. So see, because Craigle refused to do what was right, and I've asked Petey Lumpkins, okay, you want to follow that line? Then tell me what Hadith 2425 is. His response is, no. I mean, it's so childish, it's amazing. No, I won't. Because he can't, he knows it. They all know it. Craigle knows it. But you see, when you cover your ankles, when you just you don't do what's right, then people go, well, see, they're on, they've said it. And, you know, Ankerberg, did he respond to my whole open letter to him? Nope, never said a thing. Norm Geisler, silent as can be since 2010. Coming up on 4 years pretty soon. Ron Rhodes, I don't know. I'd like to know. I'd like to talk to Ron. I mean, Ron and I have spoken at many conferences together. I'd like to ask him, Ron, what about it, man? The evidence is overwhelming. Overwhelming. But you see, Ron's real close to Norm Geisler. And Norm has put the word out, you will not touch Kanter. It's politics. It's politics. Paige Patterson? My understanding is that Ergun Kanter's firstborn son's middle name is Paige, P-A-I-G-E. So, there you go. There's the connection there. But none of these folks will answer any of these questions. They can't. They can't do so. So, anyways, let's look at some of the things. First, Lumpkins went after Mark Lamprecht. He said, Mark, that's pure nonsense. You know, this is about the lawsuit. As for the lawsuit, the dispute is over who owns the rights to videos and whether the owner has control over the way personal property is used. And it should be remembered, it certainly is not about suing for money. Kanter pursued the legal route after attempts failed. Smathers brought this on, not Kanter. So now let's just remember something that I think really needs to be understood. The press release announcing the election of Kanter as president at the school. Let me remind you what it says. So this is Bruton Parker, December 3rd, 2013. Third paragraph, born in Stockholm, Sweden in 1966, Kaner is the oldest son of a devout Turkish Muslim leader. The family immigrated to the United States first in 1969 and settled in central Ohio. Okay? That's the statement that's being put out right now. Let's remember what Ergun Kaner said.
I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old.
Oh. 14 years old? Says family immigrated in 1969, so that would make him much older than me, but he's actually younger than me. So, Mr. Lumpkins, could you explain specifically what Ergun Kaner meant when he said, I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old, when he had been living in the United States of America for a dozen years when he was 14 years old? Could you explain that, please, sir? I'd like to see a blog article from you. What did Ergun Kaner mean when he made these words? Those words are to the Marines. Oh, you mean the stuff that Kaner is trying to suppress? He's trying to get a copyright on what, according to his new school's press release, is a lie. Can you copyright lies? You can, if you identify it as what it is. Fiction. And that's what Kaner's story was. It was fiction. He didn't identify it as fiction. He didn't tell the Marines it was fiction. But that's what it was. It was fiction. He went on to say,
everything I knew about American culture, I learned through American television. Whatever they allowed into the Turkish region.
Again, you're living in Ohio. You're taught English, which is why he has no accent. You're taught English in Ohio, in the Ohio public schools, but you know nothing about American culture? Really? What are you doing in school? How come I have a tweet from Emir Kaner to Ergun Kaner from back in 2010, before this thing blew up, reminding Ergun that he played a homosexual in the high school play? That's interesting. He goes on to say,
and I get to speak in churches most of my life, or in debates. I debate Muslims and Baha'i and Buddhists and Hindi and all types on university campuses. So like I said, I spend most of my time getting yelled at.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could find those debates, but we all know the truth about that.
We drive like that normally, by the way. I don't know if you know if you've ever been to Turkey, but we drive like that most of the time.
Now, we drive like that, but one of the excuses that Petey Lumpkins is throwing out there now is, well, you don't know that Kaner didn't visit Turkey. Well, actually, we've raised that possibility because it's mentioned in the legal documents in regards to divorce. Remember, they're divorced when Ergun is 8 years old. And there's a travel ban put in, and then it's taken out, and then it's put back in. That's not what he was saying to the Marines, was it? Because you aren't driving when you're 8 years old, are you, Petey? No, you're not. That's how we drive in Turkey. Mm-hmm. What did he mean to communicate to the Marines of that? Yeah. Let's just play just one other here.
We hear in America, obviously, but also what they hear about you. And so what I would like to do in the brief time that I want to speak and then to take questions is sort of pull back some of the things that they assume about you, they hear about you. Because these are things that I assumed as well. And maybe, perhaps, you, if you understand the mind, you can anticipate some of their objections as well.
Now, here is a man who is raised in Ohio, born in Sweden, pretending to lecture the Muslims about the Marines about the objections that come from a Muslim mindset before they're deployed into a Muslim area. That's great. But what is behind all of this? The idea that he would understand this because he lived there, because he was part of the culture. He wasn't. And even if he went and visited, and I just told him, Channel, there could be no travel because Kanner's dad's passport was held. I was not aware of that. I just learned something now. That would put a kink in the in that excuse, but I'd like to look more into that, but that's very interesting. Clearly, he's communicating to the Marines a lie, according to the Bruton Parker College press release. So which one is it, Mr. Lumpkins? Who's lying? Are these the words of Eric Kanner? This is from the Marine video. This is from the thing that's being sued over. This is what he wants to copyright. But the only way to copyright it is to identify what it is. Fiction. It's fiction. But it wasn't being presented as fiction, was it? No, it was not. A year after the Marine presentations, Eric Kanner again.
I cannot be president. I came in 1978 when I was getting ready to go to college. If you would have heard that it was an immigrant.
I came in 1978. Bruton Parker College. First United States, 1969. There's a 9-year difference. Huh. I wonder why that is. That's interesting.
I hated you.
I hated you.
That may be harsh. But as Dr. Hayes told you, my madrasa, my training center was in Beirut. Before I came to America, we came as missionaries to you.
Before I came to America. He doesn't remember anything before he came to America. He wasn't yet 3 years old. It's a lie. It's a lie, Mr. Lumpkins. Can you explain it? Can you tell us what these words mean?
Anything I knew about Christianity, I learned through misconception and caricature. I knew nothing about you, had never been in a church, had never been outside of the mosque. Anything I knew about you, I learned either through television, hyperbole, gossip. But I did know this. I hated you and I thought you hated me.
Now, here's a man who grows up in the public educational system in Ohio in the early 1970s. And he says, I knew nothing about Americans. I thought you hated me and I hated you. And the whole context was because I didn't come here till I was 14 years old. I was living in Turkey. I was trained as a mujahideen. It was a lie, according to the Bruton Parker College press release. Explain that, Petey. Answer the real questions for once. Don't write a book about something else. Answer the real questions for once. This is your hero speaking. These are his words, not mine. And while you're at it, you might want to explain this one.
I was the oldest. My father brought his wives with him. Yes, polygamous Muslims do come to America. We call it the Abraham lie. They say, this is my wife and this is my sister.
Where are those other wives? Oh, he remarried later, but you and I both know that is, that's not what he was talking about, was it? No, because he specifically says polygamy. It is so easy to just let Eric and Kanner speak for Eric and Kanner. And the lies just pile up. So the lawsuit that Kanner is pursuing against biblical command is to hurt other people. That's all it's for. It is to bully and hurt other people. And if he wants to just be open about it, he wants to be able to copyright lies. Yeah, wants to be able to copyright lies. The funny thing is, while he's trying to hurt Autry and Smathers, Lumpkins goes on to say, and let's be clear, the reason for your miserable post, which you pulled down and now your buddies, is singular in focus. You both want to hurt Eric and Kanner, personally hurt Eric and Kanner. It's not about ideas. See, I learned a long time ago that those who cannot engage in one-on-one debate, what they do is they project themselves upon their opponents to try to turn it into a morass of contradiction so that nothing clearly can come out. I've gotten used to this over the years, and that's exactly what Lumpkins does. Because it's Kanner who is viciously attacking other people. And so what you do is you project that upon the people that are going, look, here's his own words. Will someone answer this? Has Norman Geiser answered these things? No. Has Ron Rhodes or John Ankerberg or anybody who has had this man in to speak? I mean, he was on the podium for the installation of Richard Land at Southern Evangelical Seminary. Has anybody there answered these things? Nope. Not a word. Not a word. I suggest you both get a grip and stop your conniving crusade to morally pass judgment on a fellow Southern Baptist as a deceiving liar and charlatan. That's Petey Lumpkins. He's defending a man who is suing a Southern Baptist pastor and later on says, well, maybe he doesn't consider him to be a Christian. Isn't that passing judgment on a fellow Southern Baptist as a deceiving liar? I mean, if Jason Smathers is not a Christian and he's pastoring a Southern Baptist church, shouldn't they do something about that? Maybe, possibly. I mean, the hypocrisy is incredible. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Then he says to Jared, he says, Eric Kanner owes you exactly zero in answer to your supposed devastating questions. Got it? Zero. And he's going to use the same line with me as well. Then he goes on to say, Kanner had more than one Muslim school he attended, the way I understand it, not only here in the States, but abroad as well. I personally have a copy of a picture with Eric Kanner sitting in his uncle's lay in Turkey. Really? Are you sure about that? I bet it's the same picture I've asked Emir Kanner about, and he's been silent for 3 years. Did he attend madrasa in Turkey? The picture doesn't prove he did. Now, notice again the dishonesty of this. Did Kanner say, I visited Turkey? Would any of us have been spending this amount of time talking about this if Kanner had said, I visited Turkey? But would Kanner have been standing in front of the Marines if the real story had been put? Well, you know, when I was a kid, I visited Turkey with my dad. Can I tell you about it? Yeah, I don't think they would have gotten the Marines together to listen to that. What do you think? You see, Lumpkins and all the Kanner defenders have to avoid context. They can't come close to dealing with these statements in context. Because if they do, it's so obvious, the dishonesty. They just can't do it. As to the second question, the Kanners migrated here approximately 2 years after Ergen and his brother, not Emir, was born in Stockholm. If you'd read Ergen's books, that's what's published. Okay. So,
I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old.
So if you read Ergen's books...
I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old. I knew nothing about America until I came here when I was 14 years old.
Want to explain that, Mr. Lumpkins? I know Emir has not made the claims that Ergen did. That's why there's a contradiction. You want to explain those words from Ergen Kanner to the Marines? In light of what you just said here? Because now we have two different stories. Who are we going to believe, Petey Lumpkins or Eric Kanner? Don't know. Any contradiction, he says, any contradiction of these dates can easily be explained by conflation. But of course, for you, Mark, James White, and all those self-righteously attacking him, you apparently would rather believe he's a liar. That's why, Jared, your questions are not hard questions. They are stupid questions. Questions you try to pose in an unbiased setting all the while you know darn good and well why you're asking the questions. Then he says, Mark, actually, I don't see things as funny as you do. You, Jared, and James White, among a few others, go around the internet continually making Kanner into a fraud and a liar. Hence, from my standpoint, it's not so funny. Perhaps God in his sovereignty will bring his own vengeance in due time. Then the alleged investigative committees start coming up. The very last statement made about Kanner in the video above was from the chair of the investigative committee, which concluded, we never once found that he lied. The profound, even disheartening trouble with critics like you, Mark, White, And Preacher Bill, whoever under the blue sky that is, you don't listen or read closely enough. The investigation committee did find factual discrepancies, but just raw factual discrepancies definitively do not point to deception, which you guys are suggesting. Now, have you all listened to just the few things that I've quoted here? How can any rational mind not see that there are lies here? How can that be? What's the possibility? What has to be operational? Now, this alleged committee, was it from Liberty? Were these people involved with Liberty? Later on, I asked, because time's passing us by here, after this long, you know, insult-filled tirades from Petey Lumpkins, he wrote this huge, long pile of obfuscation. And I wrote back, Peter, thanks to the book-length exercise in obfuscation, I like clarity myself. Number one, name the investigator. Number two, produce the full report. Three, I had always lived in majority Muslim countries, quote-unquote, explain. Number four, produce Hadith 2425. Number five, if Kanter could answer these questions, he would be out front doing so. He remains silent or worse, hiding behind a lawyer, suing Christians who are in good standing in their churches. Thanks, James. That was my response to his book-length response. On December 2nd, so 2 days ago, Lumpkins responds. Thanks, he says, in response to, number one, name the investigator. No. That's because you can't. Your entire lie would fall apart. Number two, produce full report. In your dreams. Am I wrong to hear that as in your dreams? No, I'm not. I mean, this sounds. Someone else later on made the comment, I feel like I've stumbled onto a junior high school playground. And it's exactly right. Have you seen the videos that he put up about me and stuff? I mean, it's just incredibly childish. In your dreams, Eric Cantor owes you jack squat. I don't blame him. You've insulted and slandered him for 6 years at least. I doubt anyone who has experienced the torturous moral and personal persecution Cantor has would feel or act any differently. Nor do I owe you, James. What you get from me is gratuitous, I assure. Oh. You've aptly demonstrated you have no respect for anyone's conclusions about Cantor, but conclusions which agree with your unnecessary inferences, which stand as the rotten base for your erroneous claims.
I knew nothing about America till I came here when I was 14 years old. I knew nothing about America till I came here when I was 14 years old. Everything I knew about American culture, I learned through American television. Whatever they allowed into the Turkish region.
Yeah, okay, there you go. There's my my rotten base. just keep quoting Cantor, and he will never even try to touch these quotes. He can't do it. He knows it. He knows it's possible. It's just too obvious. I had always lived in majority Muslim countries. Explain. Answer? Don't have to. No need to, even if I wanted to. Truth is, just like above, if I took the time, you'd accuse me of... Now, what was the big word again? Oh, yes, you'd accuse me of obfuscation, or perhaps B, then turn right around and ask me another question. I'm reminded of the proverbial biblical skeptic who asked where Cain got his wife. This is actually supposed to be a response. Give him an answer and ask you another question. Answer that, and he'll lead you through the entire Old Testament, begin asking you if one or two angels were at the open tomb. There is no stopping, because no answer to a single question or a series of questions will satisfy his curiosity. Why? He's a priori absolutely convinced the Bible is an uninspired book. You've publicly demonstrated, James, you have no intention of accepting any answer as valid, since you a priori have concluded him a deceiver. Enough said. In other words, I can't answer that. There is no answer. I claim to have inside information, but, you know, I'm just not going to tell you. I can't answer that. There is no answer to it. It's black and white. There's no dispute here. That's why I'm not getting any phone calls from Petey Lumpkins saying, I want to respond to the, I'll answer that question. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Number four, produce Hadith 2425. Answer, no. Moves on from there. you know, 2425, some people laugh at it, but it is the single clearest demonstration of the dishonesty, deceptiveness, and intellectual vacancy of the defenders of Air Canada that I've ever produced. I think it's great. I think it's great. Because it also communicates to the Muslims, because the Muslims recognize, that's like going, produce Bible 3:16. You know, once I can explain that to people, I know I've talked to a lot of people in my travels, and they just haven't quite gotten the Cantor thing. And then I explain that to them. They look at me and go, really? His books are filled with references like that? I'm like, uh-huh. And they're like, oh my goodness, that's embarrassing. Yep, sure is. Sure is. So you ask Petey Lumpkins, produce Hadith 2425. Nope. Won't explain, can't explain. Because he knows. And that's the scary part. He knows in his heart of hearts. Now, I'm sure Petey Lumpkins wouldn't know Sahih al-Bukhari from Jamia Termini. I just don't get the feeling he has a clue about the Muslim Hadith, let alone has read the major collections. But still, it's obvious. And then in answer to the last sort, which is more of a statement on my part, if Cantor could answer these questions, he'd be out front doing so, remain silent, or worse, hiding behind a lawyer, suing Christians who are in good standing in their churches. His response, of course he is, James. Why? Because you've concluded this by unnecessary inference. Unnecessary inference.
Everything I knew about American culture, I learned through American television. Whatever.
I cannot be president. I came in 1978 when I was getting ready to go to college. If you would have heard anything I knew about Christianity, I learned through misconception and caricature. I knew nothing about you, had never been in a church, had never been outside of the mosque. Anything I knew about you, I learned either through television, hyperbole, gossip. But I did know this. I hated you, and I thought you hated me.
Yeah, there you go. Because you've included this by unnecessary inference upon which you base your most egregious conclusions possible. I suggest you actually get a job to pay for the presentations you do about other servants of God and not bilk donors who trust you're doing ministry when all you're doing is morally slandering other men. Yeah, that's all I'm doing. Yeah, just go watch the videos from South Africa.
By the way, they're now posted to our YouTube page, which is YouTube.com/user/aominorg.
Thank you. There you go. And you find out if that's all we're doing. Okay? I also think you really need to look at whether or not you're beginning to Fred Phelps and Westboro Baptist Church. There are surely theological affinities since you both adhere to the 1689 Confession. Have you ever heard of the genetic fallacy? No one has ever accused Peter Lumpkins of thinking clearly. And, as I've heard more than once from Calvinists such as yourself, doctrine precedes and remains the basis for duty and action. Is there an objection to that? Anyway. Not that you've gotten quite as far as Westboro, understand, but protesting Cantor as a college prez like you and the gang at this blog have not to mention propagating your Cantor seminar by placing advertisements on the students' cars at Cantor's Arlington School. Frankly, I'm surprised no one has actually made the comparison sooner. So there's Petey Lumpkins. One other thing, he really didn't like the presentation on Eric and Cantor. Of course, he doesn't refute any of it. He can't. That's obvious. Who could not remember that? An apologist of the Christian faith doing seminars on the moral grievances he personally has against a single man. Now, did I not lay a clear foundation as to why we have been doing any of this? I did. I'm not expecting Lumpkins to actually respond to what I said. We have a lot of experience here. But again, why respond to this then? Because you're seeing what's happening. You're seeing what's happening. Most of us simply did not believe that a board of trustees who was contacted by people, there are good Southern Baptists in Georgia that said, whoa, folks, do you know about this? And for the board of trustees to unanimously say to the Muslim world, we don't care. We don't care if this man stood in front of audiences for years and claimed to be something he was not. we don't care if the Muslims can put up videos of this man pretending to speak Arabic and not a word of it is. We don't care. Yes, we claim to follow him who is the truth, and we say your prophet is not truly a prophet, but you know what? We just don't really care. I laid it out. I laid it out because this man claimed to do the very things I do. He claimed to debate the very people I debate, and he never even met them. Never even met them. And yes, I have had Muslims contact me and say, disagree with what you say, but got to give you props for standing up on the canter thing. You're one of the few. That's sad. That is sad. Now, it's not like Bruton Parker is some, you know, he wasn't made the president of a major Baptist seminary. But the reality is that there is, unfortunately, not only the good old boys network, the political structure that has decided to gather around this man, but there's the silence of so many others that know. There's the silence of so many others that know. And it's politics. There are certain people who have put out the word, Norman Geisler, Paige Patterson, and oh, they have power. Oh, they have power. And if you want to function within the circles where they have control, you better toe the line. You better toe the line. Is that corruption? It is. Does that make the whole concept of discernment ministry somewhat of a joke? Yep, sure does. Would I like to never have to say the name Ergun Canner ever again in my life? Oh, yes. You say, well, what would bring that about? Confession, repentance, truth. Could it be more simple? I lied. My dad was a Muslim. I was raised as a Muslim. I really wasn't a very good Muslim, but I didn't know Jesus, and now I know him, and I'm so sorry. I didn't think that was a good enough testimony. I'm so sorry for the disrespect and the shame I have brought upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ministry to Muslims. I apologize. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to all those people that I've hurt and I've bullied. Drop the lawsuit. Pay the legal fees for the people you've sued. Contact your publisher and say, we've got to change this. We've got to be open and honest here. Do the right things. It would be a great testimony. It would be wonderful. That's not what's happening. And the main reason it's not happening is because so many people have stood there and covered for Ergun Canner. They have the greater guilt. They truly do. Tomorrow on The Dividing Line, we better hope the Google Hangouts works. Because I'm going to be facilitating a conversation. I'm not going to be the central person in, but a facilitator of a conversation. Vody Balcom, Ivy Connerly, Shai Lin. Big names? Yep. Important topic. Hope you'll be listening. Hope everything, pray that everything will work. And we'll see you then tomorrow on The Dividing Line. God bless.